Just before I start, I want to say thank you to Nathan and his family. If any of them are here, they run actually, they often attend Langley Church as well. But Nathan and his family run a painting contractor. And they came and in the middle of yesterday's downpour, power washed the entire church in preparation for painting, which they are going to do at no cost. The church buys the paint, and they're going to make us, this shabby old building, look a little less shabby. So, and they just, I wanted to do things for them. They said, "Don't, we're doing this because we love God. We're doing this for Jesus." And it just made my heart warm. So before we hear the testimonies of the six people being baptized today, any chance? Okay, great. We're going to talk about baptism. We just want to refresh our memory. Let me tell you a few things. You don't earn baptism. You don't have to pass a theology test in great detail other than to know what you're doing, that you've repented and given your life to Jesus. You've turned your way and said, "I no longer want to be the king or queen of my life. I'm following Jesus. I've asked him to forgive my sin. I know he's God's son and the only way." That's the extent of the theology test. A second thing is, baptism's something you do at the beginning. You don't wait and wait and wait. It's actually an initiation. You come to faith in Jesus. Jesus said, "Look, repent and be baptized." It's not something you have to be good enough for. Matter of fact, you'll never be good enough. That's the beauty of the Christian faith. Jesus says, "I was good enough. And I took your brokenness and your sin upon myself." So baptism, it's not magical. It's not something you earn. It's an initiation. It's the beginning of your Christian life. And so what I want to do is talk about briefly how baptism is very similar to a wedding and the wedding vows that go on in it. It's almost identical. Now, the high point of a wedding ceremony is actually when the two of them stand and look at each other and read a set of covenant promises, vows to one another, and then they symbolize those vows by slipping a ring on their hands. Now here's a question. Does the ring make you married? Yeah. I should know better. I should say, hold your answer to yourself so I don't have to say you're wrong publicly. Dido, bless you, my brother. One of the men who spent all day in the rain yesterday serving God by cleaning the church. But no, the ring doesn't make you married. But it symbolizes and it's a reminder of what has happened on that day that you were married. Matter of fact, in the Bible, there doesn't seem to be, there's no description of a wedding ceremony. We kind of know that it's public and that there's a covenant, but there's no real description of it. And so this is merely a symbol of a wedding. What makes you married isn't the ring, but it's the vows, the covenant vows in front of witnesses and the one flesh union. That's what makes you married. It's not the ring. So what is the purpose of a ring then? It's a visible reminder of an invisible reality. It's a reminder of covenant vows made. It's supposed to spring memory into us of that day and the promises we made. And it's got three intended audiences. And for those of you who went through the baptism class, this is just a re-summary of it. So when I put this wedding ring on for me and I look at it, it's one audience is Cheryl. This is a witness to Cheryl that I'm happy to belong to her, to give myself to her, to declare her my life partner. I wear it in love and faithfulness and obedience to the covenant vows I made with her, and I want her to know this. I wear that. The second audience is the world at large. It says, "Frank's off the market," although I don't know that I was ever a hot commodity on the market. But it's a witness to the rest of the world that there is one human relationship that I'm in that supersedes all others. That she is my priority on this earth. And that's what it says. I am in a covenant relationship. I know if you were ever in those days when you were dating and looking for a mate, and you happened to meet someone who really was interesting in church, and you went, wow, this is the one, and then you look down at their hand and you go, no, that's not the one. But that's what it does. It's a witness to the world that we have a covenant that supersedes all other human covenants. And then I wear it for myself. When I've explained it to my daughters, I say it's the daddy loves mommy ring. But I remember that on September 2nd, 1995, I looked Cheryl full in the face and read a series of promises that I made to her. And this is a reminder. And you know, rings are kind of like that. They bump up against things and they catch on things. But they're a reminder to me of what I said and did. Because it's easy to drift, isn't it? That's what a wedding ring is like. In the same way, that's exactly the purpose of baptism. It's a visible reminder of an invisible reality. It does not make you a Christian. Being baptized does not make you a Christian. Believing in God, that is actually trusting in Him and turning to Him and the giving of His Spirit. God says if you come to Him in the name of Jesus Christ, that He gifts you with His Spirit. He, God Himself, comes to live within us. That's what makes you a Christian. Baptism is merely a outward symbol of that. And like the wedding ring, it has three audiences. The first audience, like my ring said to Cheryl, baptism says to God, I'm yours. I want my Lord Jesus to know as He sees me step into this water, go under and come out, that I'm walking in obedience for Him. As He went to the cross and died and rose for me, so I go into this water and I die to myself, being king of my life or queen of my life, and I rise to Him being my Lord and Master. So it's my first witness is to Him. I'm doing this because God is watching and He is my Father. The second audience is actually the world at large. I belong to the Holy Creator. There's a relationship and an obedience that takes precedence over everything. I'm His. It's interesting, in many societies in the world, the real mark that you are a Christian is a public baptism. And it actually sometimes is the place where persecution begins, because you publicly declared whatever your family allegiance or your heritage or otherwise may have been, you are committing yourself now to Jesus only. He's not just one of a multiple of gods. He's the one you're committed to. I had friends in my previous church who are from mainland China, and they were baptized in the bathtub in their apartment building, because to be so publicly would have invited perhaps loss of job or trouble from the state or a lot of other things. But it's a public way of saying, I belong to the Holy Creator God, and my obedience, my first obedience, is to Jesus. And finally, the third audience is myself. When I was baptized, I made myself accountable to Him. When we step into the water, we've stepped over that line, and I stepped over it in my heart that I'm following Jesus. I'm giving myself to Jesus Christ. And the memory of that is a reminder of what we've done. I became a Christian in late January 1982, and 3 weeks later, on Valentine's Day 1982, in the middle of winter in Whistler, walking through the snow in my jeans and t-shirt into an outdoor swimming pool, I went under the water, and I remember that. I gave myself to Jesus Christ, Valentine's Day 1982. And it's a witness to myself that I've committed myself to God, but I'm human and I'm fallible and I fall on my face. It's also a witness to me that I'm committed to this shepherd. Listen to the words of Jesus, the one who keeps me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And this lovely sentence, no one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and He is more powerful than anyone else. And He goes on to say, and no one can snatch them from my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. When you give yourself in faith to Jesus Christ, He takes your life in His hands. And even when you're failing, as we do, He holds on with the power of the Creator of the universe. Amen? Another way baptism is like marriage, but is not, is in the making of vows. In marriage, people make vows, and they're pretty standard with a few unique twists. I did one a few years ago, and I've replaced the names here, and this was their vow. I, so-and-so, take you, buddy boy, to be my husband and my best friend, to have and to hold in good times and bad times, especially when it comes to the Canucks. No, notice they said in the bad times and then especially when it comes to Canucks. In sickness and health, to love and to laugh, to infinity and beyond. But the standard format, and they've caught it there, is it's a pledge of committed, unique faithfulness till death do us part. This is the traditional vow. I, Joe, take you, Melinda, to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better for or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and health, to love and to cherish until death parts us. This is my solemn vow. And that's kind of how like baptism is like marriage, but it's kind of how it's totally unlike marriage. Because, you know, when you're getting married, you often don't know what you're committing yourself to. I didn't know what I was committing myself to. We can't see the future or its difficulties or our failures, really. I mean, if you're married, failure is your middle name. And so we discover the hard way that marriage is actually, for those of you who are new, the woman who's laughing at me is my lawfully wedded partner, who committed herself to, you actually wrote, I will obey you.
I did not.
Or was it submit? Okay. Hush, woman. Okay. Don't want to endanger myself here in public. But that's the truth, isn't it? Marriage, and I stand there, it's two fallible human beings looking at each other and promising almost beyond what we can do. And I see these vows close up and personal, and I know they mean them like I meant them, but I also know that life will unfold and difficulties will arise that they simply did not know, and they will be tested, and we will be tested. It's true. I promised Cheryl on September 2nd, 1995, Cheryl, God has graciously opened my eyes to the wonderful gift that you are. It is with this happy knowledge that today I take you to be my wife. Therefore, in God's sight, in the presence of these witnesses, I promise you as your faithful husband to have and to hold you. Okay, that's easy. That's the good part. To have and to hold you. To protect and to serve you. I failed that second part over and over again. To serve you. You know, you're married long enough, you get tired and grouchy. Why isn't food ready? Why hasn't it been vacuumed? Whatever. To serve her, and my natural inclination is to want to be served. To bring you both joy and comfort. I didn't write to bring you irritation and exasperation, but that would have been more honest. To enjoy the love of God with you through the good times and the bad times. And little did she know that the bad times would include two doses of mono, chronic fatigue, and depression. Or the loss of job. In peace and in conflict, got that part right. Whether weak or strong, to be yours and yours alone, as long as we both shall live. Now, where marriage is different than baptism, is marriage is two broken people saying these vows to each other. And we all know it's tough to keep, and we all know that often we're unable to keep them. We promise beyond our ability to deliver, both of us do, and it happens in every marriage. And here is the difference with making those vows with God. Because when we get out to the pool, I'm going to ask those being baptized three questions. And some of them say, are you committing yourself to follow Jesus faithfully for the rest of your life? And they're going to say, yes. that they're like me. They're going to fall down on their face over and over again. I'm so glad when Jesus was asked, how many times should I forgive my brother when they sin against me in a day? And Jesus, and he says, should I forgive him 7 times? And Jesus says, no, 70 times seven. 70 times seven. So where baptism is different than marriage is when we fall down and fail, he never turns away from us. His hand is always out. I love these pictures. There's a reason God caught, that we're written the story of a woman, probably in some ways abused by the village, because you notice they only brought the woman instead of the man and the woman to Jesus. But Jesus lifts her up by the hand and says, does anyone condemn you? And she says, no. Then neither do I. Go and leave your life of sin. And that's what he does again and again, 70 times 7 in a day. You're pledging faithfulness to someone who you will fail, but he never fails. That's why he died. That's why it's important to say he died for my sins, because that means forgiveness over and over and over and over again. Sometimes I'm afraid to come to him because I feel like he must be irritated with me because it's the 18th time today I've asked him to forgive me for either a bad attitude or being irritable with somebody or knowing the right thing to do and doing the wrong thing. And he says, son, Frank, just keep coming to me. Take advantage of my grace and my death and resurrection because I gave it for you. He never turns away. I'm going to end with this. It's in that same chapter that the other verses were about never being snatched from my hand. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 15 say this. This is who we pledge faithfulness to. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. And a wolf can be Satan and spiritual difficulties in your life or things designed to take you. The shepherd never runs away. As a matter of fact, the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me just as my Father knows me and I am in the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Guys who are, and gals, men and women who are being baptized today, you're pledging faithfulness to the one who made you and who rules creation. And pledge and come back to that. And remember this baptism day that you are going to walk in obedience because there's a joy in walking in obedience. But when you fall down, which you will, take rich advantage of his hand held out to you, hands that bore nails for you to give you life. He loves you and promises never to leave you or forsake you. Let me pray for you. And as I pray, Minnie and Lisa, you can join us on the stage here. And we're going to hear 6 stories of young men and women whom God has invited into their family. Lord Jesus, thank you for Minnie's testimony and all the testimonies that are to follow. Hear them and take delight in the love of your children. Guard them, care for them, O great shepherd. May you be praised for giving your life for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on over, Minnie. You can.
Hi everyone, I'm here to read my testimony today. Okay, here goes. What brought me to church? I have known Catherine for a long time and her mom. I met Corbin with Catherine and went to a hockey practice. They both invited me to their church. So I said, sure, I would love to come. When I got to church, I met a whole lot of new people. Everyone made me feel welcomed and wanted. Since then, I have tried to come to church every Sunday. When I come, I feel really good inside. After a few weeks of coming to church, I really wanted to be devoted and have God into my life. Since my dad died 5 years ago, I have felt very alone that no one has been there for me. I wanted God to fill my heart and make me a better person. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. So I ask God to forgive my sins and come in my life to stay. God has turned my life around. I now feel that I have a place and not belong. I am enjoying being a part of Matthew and Alyssa's Young Adults Friday Nights group. This is my family. I want to say a big thank you to Catherine, Corbin, Heather, Lyle for being there for me all the way. I also want to give a special thank you to Lisa, Derek, Pastor Frank, and his wife, Cheryl. Cheryl, Carla, and Cheryl H. They have encouraged and cared for me. I love this church and will keep on coming.
Hi everyone, my name is Kyodi. Both of my parents knew Jesus Christ, so I've considered myself a Christian ever since I was young. Going to church every Sunday has been part of my life. I've heard college Bible stories, so I knew Jesus had died for our sins, and he is our one and only Savior. We can only have salvation through him. I wanted to follow Jesus Christ since I was young. I felt God's presence when I turned to him. I have heard so many his miracles and experienced them. Last year, my mother had what would be considered a fatal aneurysm, and God miraculously healed her and answered many of my prayers. With an amazing family and friends around me, I felt blessed. Growing up, sometimes I'm happy and sometimes sad, just like any ordinary person. I remember I've told God I wasn't going to get baptized anytime soon. I don't want to get baptized just because others do so. At that time, I didn't even believe in heaven and hell. We all know the Bible says God is love. So it's just hard for me to believe that one day anyone could go to hell. Until one day, something persuaded me to read the book of Revelations. Of course, I didn't understand all of it. But the last three chapters of Revelation caught my attention. That's when I accept the fact that heaven and hell are real. I've witnessed many people getting baptized, but I wasn't sure when I would choose to get baptized. Something stopped me when I thought about it. I still wasn't sure what that was. Instead of reconsidering or searching for the truth, I let it go. I guess I was afraid to know the truth. I have learned to let things go easily ever since I was young, because I knew everything is temporary. I didn't know if I commit to follow Jesus, obey him, and live the way he wants his children to live their lives. I've tried reading the Bible daily, pray every morning and every night, love God and others with all my heart, as the Bible stated, share God's word, do good things, but I failed to do all of those. For the past couple of weeks, I was still uncertain if I decided to get baptized or not. I prayed to him and desperately asked God to answer me in a way I could understand. So I remember what happened last year. When my mom was critically ill, during those days, I was in darkness. I knew God is good all the time, so I can't blame him for any circumstance in me. As a matter of fact, I knew God loves her more than anybody will ever love her. God was my only hope during those difficult times. At that moment, I realized I'm in the darkness. I will always be, whether I get baptized or not. God is the only light. I also remember Pastor Fred said during the first baptism class was not to wait any longer to get baptized if anyone wanted to follow Jesus for the rest of their lives. Choosing to get baptized this time, I wanted to tell God that I have decided I will obey him and I will fully allow God to be the light of my life. I'm too afraid to ask questions, so I still have so many unanswered questions. But one thing I certainly know that I want it is to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. I will come to him just as I am and publicly proclaim that I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Living Hope has been the church I consistently attend every Sunday, so I am more than happy to call it my home. One of my favorite Bible verses I pray to God every night is Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Thank you.
This Kyodi's testimony is incredibly honest there. And she makes this line, and we've talked about this by email. Sometimes I'm too afraid to ask questions, so I still have so many unanswered questions. You going to do something here, Rich? Keep going. Okay. I'll pretend you're not there. If you have unanswered questions, God is not afraid for us to ask hard questions. There's no such thing as an impossible question for God. Ask them. Having doubts that prompt questions is fine. Everybody does. So ask me, and I don't have all the answers, but it's okay to follow God sometimes having unanswered questions. It's just natural. Let's not fake it. Sokler, come forward. And thank you, Kyodi, for your tremendous honesty. For those of you who don't know, her mom who's sitting here, Washi, we thought she was goner last year, and we prayed like mad for her. She did have that fatal brain aneurysm, and we prayed there as family, watching her there, and the doctors getting ready to pull us all together and say goodbye to your mom. And here she is, miracle of God. Thank you. Now, Kyodi's cousin, Sokler.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I would like to thank God for all he has done in my life and for shaping me into who I am today. I was raised and born in a Christian family. Growing up as a Christian, going to church was like a routine that I had to do every Sunday. I didn't put much effort to build more relationship between me, myself, and God. At some point, I felt like I slipped away from God and I focused too much on myself and I didn't put much energy to come to church. Then one day, I decided to come to church and just to be present. As I was there listening to the sermon that day, I felt God love and realized that he was always there even when I turned my back on him. From that day on, I put more effort to come to church and get to know more about him. I want to get baptized because through tough time, I know that God is always there for me when I am in need, even when I slip away from him. He never let go of my hand. I want to become a member of Living Hope because this church has always been my home base since I first came to Canada. Everyone here made me feel welcome and like I belong. One of my favorite Bible verses is Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, where it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." This Bible verse reminds me to get through the tough time when I lost my way from God, and it helped me to find my way back to him. By getting baptized today, I accept that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sin. Thank you.
My name is Kyle, and I did not really grow up in a Christian family background, but I always believed in God. Just recently, about 3 months ago, I wanted to get baptized because God rescued me and saved me. When I fell down, he raised me up. During the past 6 months, God made a huge difference in my life and changed me to become a new person. I wasn't always the best husband and father for my family because I chose my own path and did not follow Jesus. I believe in Jesus and trust him to lead me and guide me to have a happy Christian family home. I trust God and obey him, and he will make a miracle for me and my family that I do not understand. God loved me first and sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for me on the cross, to wash away all my sins and forgive me. I accept Jesus Christ as my savior, and his love for me and my family will endure forever. Without God's love and grace for me, you wouldn't see me stand here in front of you today. My favorite Bible verse is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy way acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Thanks, everyone. God bless you all.
Good morning, you all. My name is Keithan, to those who don't know me. For the last 21 years, I devoted my life to God. However, if I'm going to testify the whole journey, I suggest you might have to refill your coffee. But I'll keep it short for the sake of time. I was born and raised in a Christian household and follow our faith in my everyday life. On April the 18th, 2010, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I grew up having basic knowledge about God and how I should live my life as a faithful Christian. However, it was a living hope that I began to fully grasp the faithfulness of God. I, like every other Christian, knows that Jesus gave his life for my sins, and because of him, I am forgiven. He is our God, and I am his child. I knew that there was duties I need to fulfill, such as going to church on Sundays and helping the community whenever possible. I did not fully know the importance of my personal relationship with God. God is love, and he was always showing it. As a child, there was never a question of God's character or his amazing abilities. There was always a part of me that knew that he was everywhere. As 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11 says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. In my teens, questions began to arise, and many were left unanswered. The feeling of inadequacy, confusion, stupidity, and insecurity began to feel overwhelming. My adolescent wonder made me ponder if he was really there, but I continued to seek him and his knowledge. There was a day when I came upon Isaiah 29, verse 13, in which the Lord says, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but a man-made rules learned by rote. I felt like that's basically what I did at that time, as everything I had done was nothing but routine. My heart wasn't right with God. My heart wasn't completely given to Jesus, so I didn't understand the importance of his command, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. I felt like I was watching a projection of myself. My heart was never there. At times, I got so busy with earthly things that it felt like I began to worship the blessing but not the blesser. The realization that God wasn't on the throne of my heart was frightening, as I had replaced his throne with school, jobs, feelings, thoughts, emotion, family, and money, etc. Not that those aren't important, but none of those replaced God. As life filled me with ups and downs, I discovered the importance of letting God take the wheel and showing me the path which I must follow. Today, I am letting God be the one to sit on the throne of my heart, and he is not the captain of my sheep. As the captain of my life, he guides me and he will do amazing things. I have learned that when I seek his presence continually, I will be filled. What Christ did on the cross was something I did not have to earn, but it is something I have received and it is something I have to live for the rest of my life. With his knowledge, I know that there will be trials and sorrows, but there will be also be good. He will never leave me nor forsake me, and I cannot wait to declare my new association with him with all of you bear witness. No matter what seasons I will be facing, I know I can fully trust in his plans for me. I am sure that his peace and love will always be with me. As I come to an end, I will leave you with this verse. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Thank you.
And our last testimony today is our friend Nolan Fuchs. Hello, Nolan's mom.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Nolan.
When I was little, my mom brought me to church on holidays like Easter and Christmas. A few years ago, when I was 14, my friend Abe Lou asked me to come to the church to be a volunteer for VBS. So I showed up that week at this church, and I loved it. I really liked hanging out with the kids and meeting new people. After that, I started to come to youth group and games night because I like the people here so much. Youth group and introduced me to God and taught me about him, and allowed me to ask questions I had about him. So I asked all the questions I had and was able to discuss them with my peers and leaders at youth group. I found myself thinking about God and wondering if I actually believed in him or not. I became convinced that I believed in God while at Camp Skuya with this church in June 2017. The guest speaker at Skuya talked about forgiveness and the struggle she had with her father, and I found that I could really relate to that. That helped me try to become closer with my own dad, which I never thought would be possible. That showed me that God was real because I was convinced that nothing would make me want to reach out to my dad. It didn't work out the way that I wanted in the end with my dad for various reasons, but he gave me the courage to try and involve my dad in my life more. I believe in Jesus, that he sacrificed his life for me, and I believe that God is for me. I know that he wants a relationship with me and he wants the best for me. I also know that there are relationships are a two-way street, which is why I'm getting baptized today. I'm going to leave you with my favorite verse from the Bible. I heard it at VBS and it has stuck with me ever since. I often try to think of it and let it impact me every day. Ephesians 4:32. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Thank you.
Towards people. He loves broken people, which is all of us. Let's make our way out and join us in front of the baptismal tank. When that's done, you guys will come in and sing a few songs while we get dried off and change.